This is Living the RV Dream with Traveling Roberts, episode number 11 for June 2nd, 2017.
I'm riding with my RV, wherever I want to be, 'cause I'm free in my RV.
Hello, happy campers, and welcome to another edition of Living the RV Dream, brought to you by Rad Power Bikes. And time is flying this year. Can you believe we are already in June? And I still can't get rid of this cold, believe it or not. Anyways, June is one of my favorite months of the year to travel because the days are so long and it is still not as hot as in August or July. And last weekend, Memorial Day, was officially the beginning of camping season. And it is already really hot here in Miami. And even the water in the ocean, a friend of mine went out the weekend and it says it was in the high 80s, the temperature of the water. So very, very nice to go to the beach. And Memorial Day weekend is a weekend that I tend to avoid. Same with 4th of July, you know, those big holiday weekends, because everything is so crowded. Then I prefer just to stay home and take care of some project here, do some barbecue. And as I call it, driveway camping. You know who's not camping, unfortunately? My friend Rennie Champagne from Maine. He just went through surgery, and he actually left me a message here on the podcast.
Hello, Robert. This is Rennie Champagne, boondock in Maine, from the great state of Maine. As you heard, I was hospitalized from Mother's Day this year to probably Friday this past week. I had diverticulitis, and I had to have 8 inches of my colon removed. I will not be going anywhere this year. The doctor said no camping, and I am so bummed out. But thank you for sharing all your videos on YouTube and giving us inspiration still. I just wanted to say thank you again for having us on the show. And have a good summer and peace, brother. Bye.
Hey, Rennie, I really hope, I really wish a quick recovery for you, man, so you can continue camping and boondocking with Monique in the great state of Maine. I can't wait to visit. Actually, Renee and I, we've known each other online for a couple of years, because last year, actually, the great American road trip that eventually ended up in Chicago was going to be a road trip to Maine. And we changed plans, but I still plan to go to Maine. I would love to visit that state. Well, continuing, today I have an action-packed episode for you. We have an interview. I'm going to interview a full-time family with three children, and they're homeschooling, and they're traveling all over the United States, and eventually they're going to go to Europe. But first, a word from Rad Power Bikes, our new sponsor, and I really, really appreciate that they are sponsoring the show. Well, in case you don't know, Rad Power Bikes is an electric bike manufacturer offering direct-to-consumer pricing on powerful premium electric bikes. Because they sell directly to you, the consumer, you won't see the large retail markup that would be present if you were buying from a third party or a dealer, ensuring you're always getting a performance e-bike at a fraction of the cost. Visit www.radpowerbikes.com or call 1-800-939-0300 to learn more about their models or to place an order. Now offering free shipping on all four models. And I'll put a link in the show notes and to their website, Rad Power Bikes, and I can't wait to get my hands on one of these bikes and test it out. I've heard they're a lot of fun. As I said, this week I have an interview with Angel and Kaylig, and they have a YouTube channel called When in Rome Travels, Appetite for Life, and this is their interview. Well, hello, everybody. We are chatting today with Angel and Kaylig, and they are a full-timing family, a traveling family with three kids. And they have a YouTube channel, When in Rome Travels, Appetite for Life. And let me introduce them to you. Hello. How are you guys doing?
Hello. Hi, guys.
Hi, Robert.
How are you?
So first of all, tell me a little bit about yourselves. How did you start, what brought you to doing this lifestyle of traveling full-time?
Sure. Well, we are a family of five, so Angel and myself, and then we have three kids, and they're ages 11, 6, and 3. And we currently live in a motorhome. We're traveling around the U.S. full-time just for about another month and a half. We've been doing it for almost a year, And so we all live in the motorhome together and travel and learn and experience all the things the U.S. has got to show us. But we, Angel and I met in Italy about 13 years ago, I guess. It goes by fast. But Angel grew up there. He immigrated there as a young man, worked, and I was there as a student. And we just happened to meet through common experience. And I overstayed my visa and stayed with Angel. And we ended up getting married and we had our first daughter there. Later on, Angel actually is Albanian. He grew up in Albania and then moved to Rome as a young guy. So we moved back to the U.S. about 10 years ago, and we have been here ever since, mostly working. We've been working in restaurants for about the last 10 years, our own for about 7 of them. And just recently in the last 9 months, finally was able to sell everything and get on the road. So here we are.
Oh, wow. By the way, where are you right now in the U.S.?
Right now we're in Maine. We left Montana last September in 2016, and we did the whole Oregon coast all the way down to California, San Diego. Wow. Actually, we left our RV there. It took a little 2-day trip down to Mexico too. We didn't take our RV down there because we weren't that that comfortable at that time yet. And then we did the whole south all the way down to the tip of Florida, Miami. That's where we met Robert down there. And Miami was beautiful. We really enjoyed our time there. And then we started climbing up all the way up to Maine, and we're going to go all the way down to West Virginia within the next month, over to Colorado, and then up back home to Montana, where we're going to store our RV for 1 year while we travel abroad.
Oh, by the way, I was going to ask you this question later on, but after your RVing life in the United States, you plan to move to Europe for how long? For a year? Or is it indefinite?
No, yeah, we don't really have any indefinite plans, right. Oddly enough. But we are just going to store this RV for now, I think. And when we get to, we're flying into London in July, and we're working right now on the possibility of purchasing a camper van, something like an old Westphalia or like the Mazda Bongos, you know, those really fun old vans that have the pop-up top. And we do have 5 of us, so we know that it's obviously going to be really tight,
right.
But we're trying to have the ultimate flexibility and mobility allowed through a camper van without having to, you know, continuously find campsites and things like that. We can just pull up into a parking lot, sleep there. I think we'll probably have something similar to a solar shower and a composting toilet, things like that. But we're really looking to see everything Europe has to offer without having to rely on, you know, Airbnbs or hostels and things
or
like
campgrounds.
Or campgrounds,
And there's nothing like being able to be mobile, you know, with a small van. You can, you know, the streets in Europe are narrower than, especially in the small towns. So it should be a lot of fun. I'm going to be following you guys.
And that'll just be for 3 or 4 months while it's warm, because Europe's obviously too cold to do that sort of lifestyle in the winter. But then we're going to be heading to Asia December-ish.
All in the warm weather.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
But not with a van. That'll just be, I think, with our packs.
Backpacking.
Yeah, of course, I mean, you could drive, but that's a long way.
By the way, about it. It's
different
not out
signs,
of the
different letters. No, not a good idea.
No. By the way, while traveling in the United States, why did you choose this particular type of RV? You guys have a Class A gas, right? Why not a fifth wheel? Why not a Class C?
Right. We did look at Class C's. Going from our house in Montana, Montana has pretty real estate there. It's fairly inexpensive land because it's a big state. And we went from a 3,600 square feet home to and a Class C looked way too small for a family of 5.
Initially.
And people said it's going to be rainy days, so you better have something big so you don't kill each other in the RV. Sometimes you even have to bring your slides in when it's like super windy outside and stuff. So we went with the Class A because it was the biggest RV. But after almost a year on the road, we could have definitely lived with something smaller for sure. Because, you know, we're always, you know, the whole point about RVing is to spend time outside. You tend to spend more time inside if your RV is kind of it's more comfortable, more feel of a home. Mm-hmm. And the reason we didn't get a fifth wheel was because we wanted the kids to be able to have like a home. A fifth wheel, we're kind of disconnected when you drive. Yeah. I can have the TV running for them. Feels more like they don't feel those 5-6 hour drives we've done sometimes on a truck being in a backseat there, they'll probably just go crazy. And are we there yet? Are we there yet?
Yeah.
So that's why we chose a Class A for sure.
They're good travelers, but there are some long days.
We have done really long days going through across Texas for 2 weeks. Those were some of our longest days, up to 6-7 hour day drive.
Yeah. Yeah, and even you, if it's raining, you can go back to the bathroom or whatever.
Yes, and true. Yeah, you don't have to stop.
More convenient. I miss that. I have a travel trailer myself, and
and I've rented.
You can make a sandwich while you're driving.
Not recommended, but if you're really hungry, and you can definitely make a sandwich.
I won't tell anybody if you want.
Yeah, right. I don't think we're the only people that do that.
I have a couple of more questions here. What, you never told me why you chose this lifestyle? Did you tell me? I don't think so. And what do you like the most about RV life, if you would tell me?
Sure. Well, we in Montana, we had two restaurants, and we had on average of between 20 and 30, depending on the season. And we were working upwards of 90 to 100 hours a week each. And neither of us are opposed to working that hard. I think we both enjoyed it, but it sort of became a chore. And because we have three kids, we had to hire a nanny, and we got to the point where we were only working and not seeing our children. And our nanny was parenting our children. And our oldest daughter, she turned 10 at the time. And we sort of looked at each other and just said, those 10 years went by in the blink of an eye. Pretty soon she's going to be gone, and we'll have spent no time with her.
Right.
All this time improving and improving our restaurant and making it successful, and no time making her a successful human being. You know, so we decided we've got to make a change. And I think we agreed together instantly almost that we got to sell everything and do something less demanding of our time.
Right.
And thankfully, we both were on board with that, and we were able to sell both restaurants and our home and our cars, and it just all worked out to, you know, almost exactly coincided together. And initially, we hadn't planned to RV. Angel sort of came across other YouTubers who were doing that, and he pitched the idea to me, and I was completely and wholly opposed. I did not want to do it.
I didn't know anything about the lifestyle at the time.
Yeah.
So after research and watching YouTube videos, we're like, well, we can do this.
We may be able to.
They all, you know, sometimes you don't show all the bad stuff, dude. You just show the fun part of the swimming in Miami Beach, and that's all fun.
Yeah.
But they're also like, mosquitoes, you know what I mean? There's also sand flies at the beach that you have to consider and stuff like that too. So, but it's definitely, it gives you the, you don't like the area, gets too cold, you turn your key in the RV, you just move.
Yeah.
You go, you don't like your neighbor, you have a choice to just choose a different campground, different spot. And that's what we really like about that. You can always like look at the forecast, always going to rain here. Let's just move south. You know, it's, you always have that
freedom.
That's
the best part about RV life, I think, is the flexibility and the mobility. And seeing new things, and you know, you want to see Miami Beach, you go, you know, and it's great. And I think prior, when I sort of turned down his idea of doing it, I just didn't realize how extensive the RV network is and kind of how much of a community has developed. We just met a family last week from Idaho who are doing the exact same thing we're doing, and they're just getting started. And they've really branched out, and everywhere they go, they make an intentional move to meet other families who are RVing. And so something I've been most surprised about is the community of RVers out there who are really helping each other and, you know, sharing information and making sure they meet up on a regular basis, because it can be hard to make friends, keep friends, especially for our kids when you're moving all the time.
Hey, by the way, brings me to the next question. What do you dislike the most about RVing? Because I'm sure there are negatives to it, besides dumping the black water tank, of course.
We would never want to sugarcoat it like that.
There are, we're actually, in our channel, we've been really open, and I think we'll kind of like gain some followers in our channel just because of our bad luck in an RV.
Oh, well,
I mean, everyone has them. We just had like the worst. In 7 months, we had to change two engines in our RV, and it was nothing to do with us. It was just the
poor mechanics
doing a poor job on the engine. And luckily we did purchase an extended warranty, and they were they did cover full cost on both engine, which has been really nice. But we also lost 2 months of our trip waiting for the RV to be repaired. It's just, you know, like a house is always maintenance. You know, you got to maintain your roof, you got to maintain your slides, your awnings, things like that. And the chances that an RV breaks down are higher than a house, because it's always moving. It's like people say it's like an earthquake, like a 5 point
or the roads, you know.
Florida had the best roads. You guys have the best roads. But there's been places that South Carolina,
some pretty gnarly roads,
Louisiana had like terrible roads.
Indiana wins the cake for that one. in my
really book. We haven't been there.
But oh, you can feel. We started with glass. We brought some glass glasses to like drink out of it, and they all broke. So we switched all the plastic things.
Everything has to be plastic.
Yeah, everything.
We're all plastic in my rig too. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. The idea is nice. You're like, oh, we'll protect them. No, it's not the case. Everything has to be bolted down and put away on a travel days, and so.
Well, you definitely.
I mean, all that maintenance, you just.
Yeah, you definitely win the prize for worst luck with engines.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
We might.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just happened to be in a tornado about a month ago in Virginia, we had a power surge and it fried our convection oven and our washer dryer. So now we're out those two trying to get those repaired. We've had some pretty terrible luck.
Okay, what's the
thing? It's all part of the experience.
Okay, it's part of the experience, of course. Luckily, the positive experiences are far outweigh the negative ones, and
yes.
I guess that's
we wouldn't still be doing it if they didn't. So.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I'm sure you were pretty frustrated on those days that you were 2 months without an RV. But, anyways, what's the thing that you found the most surprising, like unexpected, from RV life? You know, like.
Well, I think initially when I had thought of RV life, my impression was that it was mostly retirees traveling around and doing that sort of lifestyle. And there is that, you know, the aspect of it. A lot of retirees are doing this lifestyle. And we've met some really fun people in their 60s, 70s, 80s doing this. And it's always a learning experience because they've been doing it a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But what I was most surprised about are the families doing this and the couples and so many more people who are just sort of eschewing the traditional lifestyle of, you know, your home, your mortgage, your house, your many cars, and saying, no, you know, we'd rather enrich our lives with experience rather than maybe some material things that we've been working too hard to use.
Yeah, definitely. If I had known this 10 years ago, 12 years ago, I would have done the same thing you guys are doing, let me tell you. And okay, I have the next question. It will be a hard question for me, so I'm sure it's hard for you guys too. What's your favorite place? The favorite place you've visited along all your travels?
Our favorite place has been like the first thing when we left Montana. We're like midland, we don't have ocean, and the kids had never seen the ocean before. So taking the kids to the ocean, I mean, it was just like seeing them run through the sand to like get their feet wet in the water. That was just like something that I will always treasure forever. And we're in New Mexico at the White Sand Dunes. We slid down sledding, but on warm weather. We come from Montana, and it's, you know,
sledding
it's fun.
Is great, but you end up frozen and wet after half an hour, an hour. Mm-hmm. But it was like sledding in perfect conditions. It was, we were there for hours. We had so much fun.
Yeah, and we obviously really loved Florida. Miami Beach was definitely one of our places that we kind of left our heart there because of the just the beauty of the white sand and the blue beaches. Mm-hmm. That's the only place you can find. Mm-hmm. But to pinpoint down one place for us, it's really hard. But we both have to agree with San Diego, just because of that 75 degree weather year round. Then the locals told us there is, we can't really beat that.
We were there in Thanksgiving and it was perfect, like 75 sunny. Yeah. It was beautiful.
This trip was also a quest for us to find a home to settle, and then we're kind of like mad at it. Maybe we don't need to decide.
There's too many great places.
We just kind of like, we can keep. And then we also decided to put the RV for sale. And then we said, maybe we'll just keep the RV. So when we come back from our around the world travels, we'll have a place to stay and then just keep continue RVing. So, so we took RV off the market. It's not for sale anymore. And we're just going to keep it just because it feels good to have a home to come back to.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, so you got the RV bug. You're not going to get out of this lifestyle anytime soon.
Right, yeah.
Okay,
it doesn't feel like it. Yeah,
okay, one place that everybody said, you must go to this place. And when you got there, it was like, meh, not really. Do you have a place like that disappointed you in a way?
Well, I think, you hate to like rag on places, you know, especially when you're just passing through and you're there for a bit.
Yeah, but some places just don't live up to the hype, you know.
It's true. I think you always grow up hearing about the Alamo, which is funny for me. You're like, oh, you got to go to the Alamo. And like, we made a special trip to see the Alamo. Mm-hmm. And you get there and I was like, this is all there is. This is the Alamo. You know, I was like, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we did San Antonio though.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure it was a big building when there was nothing else around it, but I think downtown San Antonio has grown around it, so that was like this little Mission in the middle of the of town.
It's a bit underwhelming.
I think the other place that everyone said you have to. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, you may not need to go, but the other place that we went that everyone's like you have to go is Myrtle Beach, and we did enjoy the beach, but I just don't know. There's just something about it that didn't.
It was kind of like the off season too for us, and our RV was broken down in South Carolina while we're there, so we didn't really, you know, it wasn't our groove kind of thing at the time.
We did. We had hit a lot of beaches in Florida and up the coast at that point, so maybe it just was. It didn't live up to the hype for us. But I would hate to say that's true for everyone, but for us, it was a pretty big letdown.
Well, for me, when it comes to beaches, after you see Destin in Florida, that's it.
right.
You are homeschooling your children, obviously. Are there any challenges you have faced, and how are you coping with that?
Oh boy, well, the challenges are numerous.
I can imagine.
Fiona's in fifth grade, and Hugo started kindergarten this year. And they've both been in public school up until this point. Hugo did public school pre-K last year. So it's been an interesting shift. They're both really good students. It's very difficult to go from being mom one minute and then trying to have more of a like a scholarly aspect the next and trying to get them to listen to you. They do pretty well. They're good studiers. And we sort of just took a more interest-led approach this year. And we, of course, hit all the major things, the science and the history and things like that. But it's nice to have history be at your fingertips. So when we were down in Virginia, for example, history sort of comes alive for them when you're in Williamsburg. You can go to D.C. You can hit the things that really bring history alive for them. So that's been a really positive aspect of homeschooling. And then, you know, the challenges are, I think, the same for everyone, just trying to stay on task and trying to get enough done while still having enough time outside. And they always want to play outside while we got to stay inside and do homework, you know? But next year, as we travel, I think we made enough headway and we got far enough ahead this year that we'll be able to take a much more offhand approach. And hopefully we'll just do interest-led learning. As they see things they want to learn about, we'll take time to explore them. And not have such a structured learning atmosphere.
We can't bring all those books with us around the world.
That's the other aspect. But so far, homeschooling's been fun. I think they just miss friends and companionship and the social aspect of public school more than anything.
But there's nothing like that hands-on experience, you know, that's just going to the places where history happened, or if you go to the Wild West, the geology, just seeing the rock layers of the Grand Canyon or what have you. I think that's that they learn even more that way. And about the social aspect, I don't know about you guys, but to me, the homeschool children are like the most social ones out there. You know, they talk to everybody in the campground. It's like
you have to work at it. I think, you know, you have to make sure that they're you're pushing their boundaries of comfort and making sure they go out and meet people. But once they do, they really work at it. But it's funny that you mentioned geology, because I don't think most kids their age would have an interest in geology, but they really do. They have this huge rock collection and they love to look for rocks. And yesterday we were out on the rocks at Neville Lighthouse and they were like, "Mom, look how these rocks change." And they were showing me the different rock formations and how, and it was amazing that your 6-year-old would be so interested in rocks. But they are, which is only, I think, because we've been traveling.
Yeah, they've seen all kinds of different rocks around the country, so it's interesting to them. Okay, we're about to wrap this up. I wanna, I really appreciate you guys coming on the podcast. Any advice for prospective RVers or prospective full timers? Any last words?
Would be like to just do it. It's scary. It'll be scary at the beginning. Selling everything for us was just like. At the beginning was scary, but once you are behind the wheel driving down the road, that freedom, you know, getting out of debt, and it's been an eye opener for us. You know, why, like you said, why didn't we do this before? But you have to get to that point in life. You have to have some savings before you do it, because it's definitely not a cheap. The beginning is not cheap.
Oh, no.
It depends what kind of how good of an RV you buy and all that stuff. But it's definitely the freedom is there, and then. My advice would be to go as small as you can possibly go, because the flexibility of pulling over anywhere to see a quick attraction is just...
I think initially the idea of like something large looks attractive, but after almost a year on the road, we're really thinking the smaller, the better. Yes. If we can fit into smaller, let's do it. Cause it gives you so much more mobility.
Yes.
Yeah. That seems to be the
less
trend.
Less is more.
Where can people find you online?
Our website is winninromtravels.com. And from there links over to our Instagram, our YouTube channel, and Facebook page, stuff like that. So we're pretty much everywhere if you search Winning Rome Travels.
And the YouTube channel, of course. I'm going to put links to all that in the show notes.
Thank you.
And on the description of the video, because we are actually also recording a quick video here. Well, Angel and Kaylee, thank you very much. Say hello to the children. And thank you for having us. We'll see you on the
road.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Robert.
Thank you, Robert.
Safe travels.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's all I have for you today. I hope you enjoyed the interview. Remember, I also have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/travelingrobert, and of course the website. And I'm on all the social media, even Snapchat. Just search for Traveling Robert, one word, and I'm there. Until next week, thank you so much for listening, and see you on the road.
Cause I'm free in my RV, yeah, I'm riding.